I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All righty, the New Hampshire bloodbath yesterday. How bad was it? Joe Biden, man, he is toast. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Weigh in, please, at Facebook.com/Cioli Show, where you can weigh in real time and we will read comments on the air. Courtesy of Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. But first, I want to tell you about our next speaker series event. Very excited to welcome in a man who I consider to be a friend. I consider to be a mentor in talk radio. I consider to be one of, I think, our single most important talk show hosts in the country, by far, without a doubt. He's somebody that the president relies on for advice. He is somebody who I think knows the Constitution better than anybody. And he's somebody that lets me fill in for him on his national show. I'm very excited to welcome, as our guest, the one and only, the great one, Mark Levin, for a very special speaker series event at the Broadway Theater, Pittman, New Jersey, Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. That's right. Mark Levin, the one and only, with me on stage, Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. Tickets are $20, and they're going to sell out fast. Mark talked about it in his show last night. People are already buying tickets, so don't wait. Do this now. 1210 WPH. Wait, go to 1210. What the hell's that number?
Oh, come on.
1210WPHG.com/speaker series. All right, get your tickets. 1210WPHG.com/speaker series. It's Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. Me and the great one on stage together. We'll talk about the Constitution, liberty, the president, re-election, all of it. All of it. It'll be a great day, a wonderful day. All right, so do that now. Go to two.
Text Joe 23. Excuse me, I got to get this right. Joe 23 1 8 7 7
cars for kids.
Oh no, come on.
Use the 1 8. Text Joe to 1-800 mattress and leave off the last S for savings.
That's it.
By the way, this is not the first time Joe Biden screwed up. Do you remember the very first time that Joe Biden screwed up the text, Joe? Remember that?
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
Text Joe to 080. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Now, one of the amazing things about last night is that the Democrat Party realized that Bernie Sanders, it's his party now. It is his party, and they were saying this on CNN after the New Hampshire primary results came out. Joe Biden came in fifth place with a horrible, horrible showing of under 9%. It's so bad that today everybody's realizing that it's over. And the only chance they have right now to stop Bernie is with Michael Bloomberg. And that's what's going to happen. That's how this is all going to play out today. And I want to take your thoughts on this. 855-839-1210. But first of all, yesterday, everyone realized on TV, and they were discussing this, that the Democrat Party has become Bernie Sanders' party now. It is his party. And there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go now if they want to stop him other than to turn towards the billionaire. Pete Buttigieg doesn't have it. Listen, Pete Buttigieg, Savannah Guthrie calling out Pete Buttigieg on his dropping support with African-American voters, all right? Now, this is important to understand because I know that there are some people out there that think Buttigieg is going to become the new front runner now that Biden's out. He's not. He doesn't have money. He's got a horrible record when it comes to African-American support. It's not going to happen. And to prove that I'm right, you'll see the media is doing their thing to go after Pete Buttigieg to ensure that Pete Buttigieg is destroyed.
You've been talking about improving your numbers with the black electorate, but it's so far, it hasn't paid any dividends. What, can you show or demonstrate any progress in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. And a big part of what's happening right now is that voters of color who are laser focused on defeating this president, more than anything else, want to know that you can actually win. The process of proving that has only really been underway for the last few days, after a year of campaigning, proposing, talking, and that, I believe, is getting us the look that we now need, as we will travel directly to states like Nevada, South Carolina, and the Super Tuesday states that have a lot of racial diversity and where we can make that case eye to eye.
Our last poll, our last NBC News national poll, showed actually your support with African Americans dropping. So whereas it was at 3% a while back, now it's at 0%.
Yeah, and some polls show the reverse. I'm not going to
stop. Look, if you ever doubt me, just realize when the media does their thing, what Savannah Guthrie's doing here, she's killing Pete Buttigieg. That's going to be Bill O'Reilly's next book, Killing Pete Buttigieg. That's talking about Savannah Guthrie's interview with Pete Buttigieg right now. Your support has gone from 3% to 0%. If they wanted Pete Buttigieg to be the nominee, Savannah Guthrie would not be asking this question. How do you go from 3% to 0%? 0.0.
Our last poll, our last NBC News national poll, showed actually your support with African Americans dropping. So whereas it was at 3% a while back, now it's at 0%.
Yeah, and some polls show the reverse. I'm not going to get caught up in polls.
And some shows poll negative support. You're at negative 19 with black voters.
Ouch.
I mean, come on, right? That's the kill shot. That's the Pete Buttigieg kill shot right there. She's asking that question for a reason. Not this poll. Not our poll shows you have 0.0%. Oh, man. Is there more to this?
Polls.
I know you don't love polls, but let me give you one other, because there's a new Quinnipiac poll out today that shows actually Michael Bloomberg getting 22% of the African-American vote. And he's relatively new on the scene, and you got 4%. So to your argument that black voters want to see someone who's a winner, how come it's not showing up for you yet, this effort?
Well, I don't have billions of dollars to put onto the airwaves. We got to earn every vote going through the process, beginning in these early states where you show versus tell.
You have been a prolific fundraiser, though. You've been a successful fundraiser, so you do have money to spend.
Yeah, and we've been focusing on making sure we succeed first in Iowa, then in New Hampshire, and then on to Nevada and South Carolina.
So the question I got from my buddy Francesca Farber, I love the name Francesca, by the way. She says, question for you, Rich. Rush said back in July, keep your eyes on Pete. Do you think Trump should be worried about him? Pete is is the white Obama, as a lot of people call him. He's got the narrative and the mold, and look, let's face it. Pete Buttigieg being gay is not a liability for him in the Democrat primary. Or I don't think, by the way, I don't think anyone cares. I really don't. I don't think anyone cares.
In the South, they don't care?
For Democrats? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's why Pete Buttigieg is losing New Hampshire or Iowa. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. But the reason why I would tell you, Francesca, to answer your question, the reason why it's not a problem for Pete Buttigieg, or why Trump should not worry about Pete Buttigieg, is because of what Savannah Guthrie just did. They're taking him out. He's done. They're taking him out. This is a process now about clearing the field for Michael Bloomberg. That's what this is. It's clearing the field for Michael Bloomberg. And Pete's in the way, so they got to get rid of Pete. So now they're going to point out how horrible his African-American support is. Remember now, this is coming at the same time that the video was leaked of Michael Bloomberg talking about stop and frisk. So realize now what's happening is that they're pushing Mayor Pete on the fact that he has no black support at the same time that this video came out about Bloomberg. And that's for a reason. Biden fails. Biden's out. So now you're left with either Mayor Pete or Bloomberg. And if people turn around and go, well, yeah, but Bloomberg's got this stop and frisk issue, they go, no. You don't understand. Mayor Pete has a real problem with African-American support here. A real problem with African-American. He is the one that's going to lose the black vote. Big time. Big time. And that's a fact. That's the fact right there. What Savannah Guthrie's doing is she's really doing what the media does. But Pete Buttigieg doesn't help himself now. This is that awkward moment when Pete Buttigieg was discussing Dark Money, all right? And this is a black audience. Cut five.
I am not a fan of, let's be clear, I'm not a fan of the current campaign finance system. And the reality is it's not going to get better in all of the ways we need it to get better without a constitutional reform. So there are things we can and should do right away that can deal with black money. Dark money.
I mean, not black money. Not black money. I mean, you don't really have any, do you? I mean, come on.
No, not black money.
I mean, right?
No.
I only want white money. I've told my staff.
No.
Only white money.
He meant dark money. He meant dark money in politics.
That is just awkward.
In all of the ways we needed to get better without a constitutional reform. So there are things we can and should do right away that can deal with black money, dark money.
African-American money.
I'm always happy to take black money contributions into my campaign.
Oh, God. Stop. Just stop. Stop. That's so bad. I got to hear it again. Okay. Please.
Started from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
I am not a fan of, let's be clear, I'm not a fan of the current campaign finance system. And the reality is it's not going to get better in all of the ways we need it to get better without a constitutional reform. So there are things we can and should do right away that can deal with black money, dark money.
African-American money.
I'm always happy to take black money contributions into my campaign. Dark money refers
just
to...
Just stop talking. You're terrible. So this is the problem. And then again, let me just, again, go back to Savannah Guthrie, and I'll say they're not coalescing around Mayor Pete, okay? That's not happening. Again, Savannah Guthrie, Greg, just play. We'll start just the beginning of it is all we really need here. Go ahead.
You've been talking about improving your numbers with the black electorate, but it's so far... It hasn't paid any dividends. What, can you show or demonstrate any progress in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. And a big part of what's happening right now is that voters of color who are laser focused on defeating this president, more than anything else, want to know that you can actually win. The process of proving that has only really been underway for the last few days, after a year of campaigning, proposing, talking, and that, I believe, is getting us the look that we now need, as we will travel directly to states like Nevada, South Carolina, and the Super Tuesday states that have a lot of racial diversity and where we can make that case eye to eye.
Our last poll, our last NBC News national poll, showed actually your support with African Americans dropping. So whereas it was at 3% a while back, now it's at 0%.
Yeah, and some polls show the reverse. I'm not going to get caught up in polls.
Yeah, you know what? This is the DNC doing their thing to get rid of Pete Buttigieg. They're just going to clear the field today, and that's what's going to start happening. So let's turn then, shall we, to Chuck Todd and guest. This is he and a guest now, Dante Scala. They discuss the mediocre turnout and the fact that there is nobody running right now. Now, remember now, on the ballot in New Hampshire. On the ballot in New Hampshire. Remember, Bloomberg was not on the ballot yesterday in New Hampshire. OK, he was not on the ballot. So remember that. Keep that in mind now, as I tell you, the media doing their thing. The media is going to do their thing very, very quickly to help coordinate Mike Bloomberg. Okay, this is my thesis here. You can disagree with my thesis, but that's my thesis. The media is going to do its thing very, very quickly to coalesce around and help Mike Bloomberg become the nominee, because it's either that or they're stuck with Bernie Sanders and they know that Bernie's going to lose. They think they have a chance with Bloomberg. They know Bernie gets destroyed, right? So they've all been kind of given their marching orders and now they're going to do their thing. Cut two.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that Democrats here in New Hampshire, when all is said and done, they're saying this looks like a B-level field of candidates. No one head and shoulders above the rest the way that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were in 2008.
Now, let's stop it for a second. Let me be clear and mention that Michael Bloomberg is never head and shoulders above anybody because he can't literally be over someone's head and shoulders.
There's no reason to.
I just want to point that out.
Okay.
All right. Keep going.
Even the top tier have severe problems with at least one faction of the party, if not multiple problems.
Dante just used the left. You actually used the perfect B level, Jason. And I say this, this is no offense to anybody. One of these people will feel like an A person at some point.
Right.
They just, it, I get why he says that. It feels like there's no star.
There's no star in New Hampshire. Now, who was not in New Hampshire last night? Who was not running in New Hampshire last night? Anyone?
Bloomy.
Thank you. The media is doing their thing here, kids. That's what they're doing. Listen, I'm happy to take black money if you want to give text black money to Pete.
Oh, God.
00000. I got my number after my support with the African-American community. Text Pete to 00000. Wow. You see, now what happens is that now that Biden's out, I mean, not officially, but now everybody starts realizing, as Jones says, okay, maybe you're right. Dear Lord, Mayor Pete, he might be more of a gaffe master than old Joe. I mean, I don't want any of that black money. I mean, I'll happily take the money. I want to be clear here. Shut up. Stop talking. You idiot. All right, 855-839-1210. I'm going to take your calls in a sec. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, so now that Mayor Pete is effectively going to be destroyed very, very soon, and the media is going to do their thing to do that, then the question then becomes, how do they deal with Bernie Sanders and his voters? This is a New Hampshire voter yesterday. Remember, Bernie won big time, 25% of the vote yesterday. It was big, with about 87% reporting. So he won without question. What do you do with Bernie's people if he doesn't become the nominee? Will there be a backlash? Here's one New Hampshire voter who, interestingly enough, ended up voting for Bernie because...
I want to say the reason I went for Bernie is because of MSNBC. And
go on.
I think it is completely cynical to say that he's lost 50% of his vote from the last time when there were two candidates. Now there are multiple wonderful candidates who would be great presidents and people that we could, I think, that we can unify and get behind. But the kind of the stop Bernie cynicism that I heard from a number of people, I watch MSNBC constantly, so I heard that from a number of commentators, and so that just, it made me angry enough. I said, okay, Bernie's got my vote.
This is such an interesting point. What you're saying is, and we take criticism because we're journalists, right? We got to be open-minded.
No, you're not.
You're saying that hearing from people, whether it's guests, contributors, the conversations you've heard that you felt were designed to tear down Senator Sanders or quote-unquote stop him actually endeared him to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could have chosen several candidates, but that's what pushed me over the edge for Bernie.
That's really interesting, and thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, MSNBC, you hate him so much, and it's so obvious, you've actually pushed people towards Bernie. You've pushed people towards him. All right, 855-839-1210. Ed is in Del Ran. Ed, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning, Rich. You are an astute political advisor. You, months ago, predicted the demise of Joe Biden.
Thank you very much for acknowledging that, sir. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm a political junkie. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You are absolutely right. They know they're not going to win the presidency, so they want Doomberg's money so they can use that money to fight for congressional seats, because if they can keep the House or cause as much pain and trouble for Trump, that's all they care about now at this point, in my opinion.
Yep.
Yep. And that's exactly right. I totally agree with you. And I've been going around saying the same thing, even to your pal Rick. I told him that.
Well, it's the truth, Ed. I mean, it's and thanks for the props, because months ago when I was saying that Biden was not going to be the nominee, people were going, "You're crazy. You're crazy." And it's all played out exactly like I said it would.
You give credit where credit's due, pal.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day. John is in Swedesboro. John, good morning.
Yeah, Rich, it seems like you answered my question. I was just wondering, you said that we all know that Bernie has no shot and Trump's going to walk in. But do they think that Bloomie's got a better shot at this?
Yes.
Or they just want his money?
Well, both, right? I mean, they think he's got a better shot because he's not a socialist. But number two, he's got money. So they think anybody with the money to compete obviously has a better shot. I mean, that's just basic math, right? So they think he's got a better shot. Yeah.
I think he's got no shot. I really don't think anybody has a shot against this president. He had 120,000 votes in the primary last night. I mean, that's the top three combined.
Well, wait. You asked me if Democrats think he has a shot. Democrats are not going to sit around and go, okay, we have no shot whatsoever. They're going to say, well, we got our shot, so we might as well have the billionaire in the race so we can spend a lot of his money and help the people on the down ballot races. With Bernie, though, you lose the White House, you lose Congress, you lose it all. And that's the difference. Bloomberg can at least maybe help them keep the House. What? Yes.
Once again, their intent with destroying Bloomberg's wealth to keep their end up, right?
Yeah, look, they would love to take his money. That's it. They'd love to take his money, and they know that if it comes down to a billionaire with money to spend or a socialist with no money to spend, it's not that hard for them, the establishment, to figure out what's a better deal for them, right?
Right.
All right, John. Have
right,
a great
I
day.
Listen, yep. Thanks. Listen, say hi to Dawn. You have a great show.
Dawn's right there. Say hello to yourself.
You. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Doing
Dawn,
great.
You remind me of my mother because my mother wrapped me in bubble wrap when I was a teenager.
Hello. Wait a second. What did you say? Say that last thing again.
I said when I was a teenager, when I was a young man, my mother was just like Dawn. I think Dawn took lessons from my mother because I was wrapped in bubble wrap.
You see, and look how he turned out, John. Dawn, look how he turned out. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, bud. Have a great day.
Right.
Bob's in South Jersey. Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have to disagree with one thing. If the DNC is thinking long term, and if they want to keep the House, they got to give it to Bernie. Because if Bernie's voters stay home, it won't matter how much money Bloomberg has. They won't have the votes.
Bernie's
so
voters.
If you alienate...
No, but hang on a second, though. Think about where Bernie's voters are. Bernie's voters aren't in these swing districts. These swing districts are. These are districts Donald Trump won. These are not districts that Bernie Sanders won, or Hillary Clinton won in 2016. If Bernie's on the ticket, Trump is going to go in there and roll through all 30 of those districts that he won in 2016, and he's gonna take the Republican with him.
But you don't think the people that support Bernie don't really care about money? They're just kind of like live in your basement kind of people. So I think they're going to sit home, which I don't know if that's going to be better or worse for them with the House.
They sat home in 2016, but that's my point, right, Bob? So Bernie's people sat home in 2016, and the president won those districts, and the Republicans won those seats. In 2018, there was no Trump on the ballot. Democrats win. In 2020, if Bernie's on the ballot with Trump in a moderate district like New Jersey's 3rd District or where Connor Lamb is up in western Pennsylvania, for example, the Republican running for Congress is going to crush it. And they know that. And that's why, Bernie's people may stay home. If the Democrats think they're going to lose the White House anyway, all they're trying to do at this point is keep the House. That's it. Keep the House. And I don't think that having Bernie helps you keep the House in those swing districts. Thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. It's an excellent question, though. It's an excellent point. I just think that if you look at the makeup of those districts, there are not enough Bernie bros in those moderate swing districts. You're talking about a lot of these districts are pretty affluent, you know, and I don't think there are enough Bernie Sanders supporters in the district that Andy Kim won when he beat Tom MacArthur in 2018 to matter. But I think that if Bernie's on the ballot in 2020, I think Andy Kim gets destroyed. I mean, I think Andy Kim's going to lose anyway with Trump on the ballot, but I think remember something. If they think that Trump's unbeatable, and I'm sure there's a lot of Democrats that think that, then at this point, they have one objective in November. Try to keep the House of Representatives. That's it. Try to keep the House. So ask yourself this question. Looking at the districts they have to win, do you have a better chance of winning those districts, moderate swing districts, with a socialist at the top of the ticket or a former Republican mayor of New York billionaire at the top of the ticket who's a capitalist? What do you have a better chance at when you roll the dice? And yeah, the Bernie bros will stay home if he's not the nominee and you might lose the White House. But I think they have kind of figured out they're probably going to lose the White House anyway. So if Bloomberg's able to pull a miracle for them and win the White House, well, then there you go. Great. But if not, their thinking is they have a better fight of keeping the House. That's what this is about because he's got the money. So It's just about the money. It's just about the money. The money is it's that's all. It's what it is. I mean, that's the fact. And the media is doing their thing now to finally put the screws into Joe Biden. There's no doubt about that. Chris Matthews last night. Biden is not in the running anymore. It's over. This is again the media tying in with the DNC, doing their thing to effectively now take Joe Biden out once and for all. Cut nine.
It seems to me there has been a successful campaign by Bernie Sanders on the progressive left. He's won that battle, at least up in New Hampshire. He may continue to do so, but he's definitely delivered a knockout punch tonight against Elizabeth Warren. On the other side, Biden is not even in the running for moderate leader anymore, and that's a big development tonight. Yep. It is a battle on the moderate side between Buttigieg and Robichaud. It just is, and I think we're going to see the problem they both have is money and organization around the rest of the country. Are they going to end up like Paul Tsongas did up here many years ago and couldn't go anywhere afterwards? Right. And that's the problem they both face.
Yeah, so Bloomberg just opened a New Hampshire office today. The Wall Street Journal reported Wednesday that Michael Bloomberg is opening his office today, coinciding with an ad buy in New Hampshire today. Bloomberg is going to be the nominee, kids. All right. I told you back in the fall that Joe Biden was done. He was done. Someday I'll be wrong, but not today. I'm wrong on a lot of things when it comes to wiring, plumbing, doing any sort of yard work. Greg, this is where you jump in and make fun of me here now. Sorry, Greg's distracted by what the hell? What are you watching over there? What are you doing?
I'm not watching anything.
What's got your attention over there?
Nothing.
What are you looking at? Come on, tell everybody. What are you looking at?
No, I have a clip service that I just check in periodically in the morning and see if any new clips have been up.
Do we have any new clips?
No.
All right. Well, you missed a great opportunity there. I'll start over. Someday I'll be wrong, but today's not the day. Although I'm wrong about a lot of things when it comes to wiring, plumbing, general contracting, work around the house.
Leaving things here.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Putting oil into your car.
Putting oil in my car. Yes. Basic car mechanicry. Is that even a word?
Putting together a play set for your kids.
Putting together a swing set for my children. Yeah. It would have been better if you had done this when I first brought it up.
Okay.
Right? From a timing perspective.
Poor Greg.
He's got the worst job now. He's the corporate shill and the executive producer of the show.
He's got two jobs.
He's got to deal with my crap and then the crap of everybody else around here. This is the worst job. It's like almost like I did this just to punish him by speaking so highly of him to all the corporate suits.
See?
You know, it's like the ultimate revenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, listen, don't worry about it. Things could be worse for you, Greg. They could be worse. You could be the program director of, let's see, the Progress Channel on Sirius XM. Have less people listening than we do on one road right now in
Salem County,
New Jersey. That's right.
I know you like Salem County.
I do. I love Salem County. And we are coming very, very close to there. Pittman, woo-hoo, New Jersey. Is Pittman's in Gloucester, right?
I actually don't know.
Or is it in Salem?
Let me check.
You would think that a guy that's worked on numerous gubernatorial campaigns in New Jersey in my life, I would know the answer to this question, right?
Google, what county is Pittman, New Jersey in? No, that didn't do anything.
That didn't help you, right?
No.
All right. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839. Gloucester County. Thank you. I thought it was Gloucester. I should have went with my first instinct. But Gloucester County. So we'll be in Pittman, New Jersey for our next speaker series event with the great one, Mark Levin. Me and Mark Levin on stage together on Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. Tickets are only $20, and you should get your tickets at 1210wphg.com/speaker series. It's going to be an excellent, excellent day with me and the one and only, the great one, Mark Levin, on stage, March 7th, 11 a.m., 1210wphg.com/speaker series. Do it. Joe's in Philly. Joe, good morning.
Hey, Rich. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
I think their long game is they don't care about the presidency. Virginia, with all their gun laws, is directly tied to Bloomberg. And they got another bill going through the Senate, State House in Arizona. And I think this is the Democrats' ploy. They just want Bloomberg to spend all his money on local races. You're right, and keep the Congress. They don't care about the presidency. They're playing the long game here. And what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If Bloomberg manages to win the White House, then great, right? If he doesn't, at least they've got money to spend on those congressional races that matter so much. And that's why why this is all going to play out the way it is. Yes.
I know, but I think that the RNC is bringing in all kinds of money. They're going to have to combat that because they're going to lose in the long run. And I hope they're thinking that far down the road.
Yeah, no, I think they are, Joe. There's no doubt that they have to because they recognize that they've got. Look, first of all, the president has a ton of cash on hand, a ton. And the point that Chris Matthews was making, and thanks for the call, Joe, the point that Chris Matthews was making was this. He was saying that you need money to be able to keep running. And it doesn't matter if you win New Hampshire like Paul Tsongas did in 1992. If you don't have money, your campaign is not going to be able to keep going. And that's the problem. And the reason why Bloomberg's opening an office today in New Hampshire is because he knows that Biden is done and he knows that the other candidates who did well, Buttigieg and Klobuchar, don't have the money. And so they're not going to be able to win. All right? They're not going to be able to win. That's where things stand. And what's going to happen today is a domino effect is going to start happening, but you're already happening. This is again, the media doing their thing to put the final knife in Joe Biden's nail in the coffin. Who do you want to play here, Greg? Do you want to play Andrea Mitchell? Who else?
I think Andrea Mitchell, where she basically calls Joe Biden a loser, is probably my favorite cut of the day.
Let's do it.
About Joe Biden, Andrea, because, look, they've always said they didn't expect Iowa and New Hampshire to be winning states for them. They're trying to get to Nevada and South Carolina. But did they expect this kind of dismal finish in Iowa and what's shaping up to be not a great finish here in New Hampshire?
Not at all. And they could place fifth, certainly fourth. And the fact is, they're beginning to have that feeling of a loser. And when you saw that Quinnipiac poll, which showed that he has lost 22 points in African-American support, he had talked about South Carolina as being his firewall. That is no longer the case. Mike Bloomberg has moved into position. And having lost so much of the African-American support, Joe Biden is almost on fumes, really. Well, this is a real problem for their campaign.
I was going to say, they say they're going to Super Tuesday, you know, win, lose, or draw here in New Hampshire. Well, that's the question.
There you go. What can I tell you? The media's doing their thing. They're killing Joe Biden, killing Buttigieg, and killing Joe Biden. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hey, listen, as we do an hour of nonstop talk, we're not going anywhere here. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We are doing what is unprecedented in morning drive radio, of course, or any radio anywhere, which is an hour of nonstop talk. You together with me and this show as we continue down this road of analyzing the New Hampshire primary. With a big, big win in New Hampshire last night, Bernie Sanders is now on the path to become the nominee of the Democratic Party. It is now his party. On CNN last night, they were acknowledging as much. It's Bernie Sanders' party. Now the question is, what will they do to stop Bernie Sanders from becoming the nominee? The answer to that question is everything they possibly have to do to stop him. They will not let Bernie Sanders become the nominee. They won't let it happen. They'll do whatever they have to do. And that is why today is that critical day when the Biden supporters begin to turn towards Michael Bloomberg once and for all. And Joe Biden begins the inevitable exit of this race. Joe Biden yesterday yelling at a voter about yelling at a reporter as he was talking about leaving New Hampshire early. Cut seven.
Mr. Vice President.
Look. I told you in the beginning it is the first quarter of this game is the first four caucuses and primaries. And that's what this is all about. And then we go from there. Look, you know, everybody talks about the past. I mean, Clinton lost nine primaries and won only one. This is just the beginning. We have an entire nation to vote yet. And so what I'm doing is going down after we fight for every vote we have here. And then I'm getting on a plane, heading down there. Doing a little rally in South Carolina to get going, then getting on a plane and going to Nevada.
But why are you staying in New Hampshire for the results tonight?
Are you concerned about the message that you're sending to New Hampshire by going to South Carolina?
No, I'm not. Not at all. Not at all. They know we've worked our heart here. We're continuing. We're going to go all the way to New Hampshire. And this is it. I'm not concerned about it at all.
Does it seem like you're giving up on New Hampshire?
I'm not giving up on New Hampshire. Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy? That's all right.
Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy? Back off. Back off, pal, or I'll fight you.
I'm not giving up on New Hampshire. Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy? That's all right. Good.
I got four or five people behind, cheering for me, behind me. I got four or five people right behind me, cheering.
We're going to go all the way to New Hampshire. Yeah. And this is it. I'm not concerned about it at all.
That's Joe Biden's rally cry. His supporters right there. Yeah. So now the question then becomes, how soon until this all ends? NBC's Andrea Mitchell again on Tuesday as she talks about what's going to happen with all these moderate Democrats divided and the fear that's going to ensue. Cut six.
The problem is going to be that the other candidates, the moderate, let's say moderate candidates, are going to coalesce eventually. It's going to come out of New Hampshire with way too many candidates, but it's going to eventually come to be, I think, Bernie versus the others. And then the Bernie people are going to be passionate. They are passionate. We had a huge crowd here last night. And then you're going to have a divided Democratic Party, and it's a recipe potentially for disaster against Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster is right, which is why then again, they'll turn around and coordinate Michael Bloomberg, and that process will begin today. Stunning how poorly Joe Biden has done in New Hampshire. CNN's Dana Bash, cut 13.
But I think we just also have to take a moment and just digest the fact that a former two-term vice president of the United States didn't even place, it looks like, we're not done yet, but it looks like he's headed towards not even placing in the top four.
Right.
I mean, getting single digits of support, not even getting enough support to get one delegate from New Hampshire. I mean, that is stunning. Now, he, at least at the end, set himself up for that by starting the debate, as you mentioned, with Arlette at the last debate, which everybody in New Hampshire who I talked to was watching by saying that they wouldn't support him. Mm. But still, it is by far one of the biggest storylines of the night, despite the fact that his campaign worked very hard to set expectations at these levels.
No one has ever come in fourth in Iowa and fifth in New Hampshire and then gone on to get the nomination. We're going to squeeze in a quick break.
And nothing, no one ever will. CNN's John King, who actually felt guilty for bullying Joe Biden last night.
Former Vice President of the United States, first nowhere, second way up there. I'll take a look at the size of that in a minute. But again, this is I almost don't want to do it because it feels mean to do it. We're talking about a very tiny place up here.
Four votes, five votes.
Yeah, 2-1 in the town. So yeah. It feels almost mean to do it. But that just tells you that, again, you're not first, you're not second, you're not third in any place of significance on the map. That is the definition of a very bad night.
It feels almost mean to do it, to report on how badly Joe Biden just got his rear end kicked all over the state of New Hampshire. Hey, don't poke that thing in my face, man. Text Joe to, what's the suicide hotline number?
No, come on.
All right, fine. Dawn, good morning. What's up? What's cooking today?
Text it's, Joe, 2-3, excuse me, I got to get this right. Joe, 2-3-0-3-3-0.
Oh, Dawn, come on. You know I'm right. The media is trying to get rid of him and Pete Buttigieg. That's their Joe. They got a job now.
So good morning. 41 degrees. Yoli Show News brought to you by BQ Basement Systems. So one of New Jersey's most powerful politicians is accused of, quote, gross misogyny and toxic masculinity. And this goes to the battle that Zioli always talks about, North versus South in Jersey and a lot of politics. So who's the accuser? A labor activist who testified at a sexual harassment panel. So this labor official, her name is Fran Arrett. She claims Democrat State Senate President Steve Sweeney intimidated her several years ago after she opposed his efforts to cut those state pensions. So she claims that he said, quote, if you were a man, I would take you outside right now and kick your butt. Except he didn't say butt. He said the A word.
You can say allegedly. The A word.
Oh,
I
can. Okay.
I mean, if you want to.
So Sweeney in response says, look, Fran Arrett is a dishonest ringleader who's using the panel to silence those who disagree with her. So she also says that after one intense meeting, Sweeney and some big men got in an elevator with her. And they stood in the elevator.
And they intimidated her?
And I guess they didn't say anything, but it was toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity,
yeah,
right.
Because she was surrounded.
I'll tell you, the entire Phil Murphy administration now has this cloud of toxic masculinity around it. So this is their revenge to go after, you know, because they hate each other, Steve
right.
Sweeney and
nemesis.
Phil Murphy. Yeah.
So Remember, Murphy, we reported, was recently even in the Milwaukee papers and making national headlines for trouble. So, yeah, I think it's the back and forth. Hey, is the only show follow-up on the actor who once claimed he was victimized by MAGA hat-wearing homophobes who threatened him with a noose and bleach on a frigid February night in Chicago? You may recall, as the minute I reported this story, Zioli called it a fugazi, a phony claim, right? And now after a year of these scathing headlines, escalating legal battles, bizarre tabloid twists, yes, former Empire actor Jussie Smollett is facing charges that he staged that hate crime on himself. So,
in fact, Dawn, we have a little montage.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the montage of the media uncritically accepting, once again, another outlandish hate crime. This is from February of 2019.
With a noose around his neck and hospitalized, Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism, we're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information. It's out of control.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, "The racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity."
And Senator Cory Booker said, "The vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching."
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
"But I'm so shaken by the story. This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. This is a horrible story."
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
"Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Trump's America."
A lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
Trump's
America. It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019.
And this is America in 2019.
That's Brooke Wall in the end. This is America in 2019. So there you go, Dawn.
Yeah, it's
a fugazi.
Yeah, you call. I mean, look, I got to give credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
The minute this came out, Zioli said, "Meh," and remember, Chicago police apparently think like Zioli, son of a cop from our region, right? So Chicago PD quickly, you know,
because the Klan is not going to be out there when it's 60 below zero. The Klan has a minimum 20 degrees or higher. It's in the Klan manual. And the hate crime manual. It's got to be a minimum of 25 degrees.
So, they follow that to a T.
They follow that to a T, Greg. Thank you. And so they're not going to be out there. That's that violates the I believe, the Klan code operating in negative 60 for hate crimes.
So he's now charged. This grand jury charged him with 6 different charges. So we'll see how we'll continue to follow it.
It's hard to believe that something like this could happen, Dawn, in 2019.
Yes. Well, this is 2020. So it's a whole new year, is
That's
it not?
Right.
A lot of fugazis being called out in 2020. Two University of Delaware students are being tested for coronavirus. This as China reports its highest daily coronavirus death toll, pushing that toll to 1,100. But in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and America, quite frankly, health officials say the risk of infection to the average American is very low. Delaware is getting its own beer, courtesy of Wilmington Brew Works. So I report. I like to report on the bear news, and this was a
we
famous
appreciate
bear.
That.
You know, yep. So the black bear eluding capture in December, all through Delaware, and now they're making a brew, Della Beer.
There
it's
you
very
go.
Very cute. Well, finally, a Pennsylvania dog wins Best in Show. This is Seba, and who's from Northampton County, Pennsylvania, won Best of Breed for standard poodles. So congrats.
Congrats to the little doggy.
Seba doggy.
Good job, doggy.
Yes. And happy birthday this week to Jennifer Aniston, celebrating her 51st birthday. She posed.
Damn, does she look good.
What, you see, this has gone viral. She's posing pantsless on the cover of Interview magazine. She's wearing like a little bikini bottom.
Really?
And like, you got to check. I mean,
entire
if it's
audience
like
stops what they're
leather,
doing and starts Googling Jennifer Aniston on the cover of.
What's the magazine?
It's called Interview Mag. Just Google Jennifer Aniston
Google
birthday.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
To
Aniston.
169
Interview
eight,
magazine.
75.
But her legs, she started doing like a squat kind of a thing with her. She's looking awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for having the entire audience leave the show and go look at that now online. We appreciate that.
Rich, you have to look at this. Yeah.
I will.
Let Greg post it. If you're driving, If you're driving, don't look up the photo, the pantsless photo while you're driving. That's very, be safe, baby, as Mama Zeli would say. Okay, eyewitness weather today. Look at the sun. Thank goodness. No rain today. 47 degrees. Not too bad. So tomorrow morning, the morning commute, it will be rainy. 90% chance of rain. But that rain clears out by lunchtime tomorrow, and it'll be 55 degrees. Valentine's Day reminder for Friday. It will be brisk, sunny, and only 35 degrees on Friday. So are you dealing with a wet, musty basement or cold crawl state? Crawl space. Call BQ Basement Systems. Make sure your house is a healthy one. Get that free inspection. Find out why BQ Basement Systems has more than 11,000 dry, healthy homes. Visit BQBasementSystems.com. Hey, I'm Dawn, Zeli Show News, Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate that. Let me tell you, before I'm going to get to Bernie's acceptance speech last night, his big win last night. But first, I want to tell you that the single most important thing you have to remember right now, more than anything, is that Joe Biden's candidacy is over. It's over. Joe Biden lost the Democrat nomination for president of the United States last night. It's over. Now it's just a matter of when he drops. But first, Newsmax TV is covering the billionaires that are in the race, that are still in the race, like Tom Steyer, who surprisingly is still in this race, but he's not really in the race. And the other billionaire who probably is going to become the nominee, if I'm correct, Michael Bloomberg.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Joe Biden lost the Democrat nomination for president last night with his horrific showing in New Hampshire. Meanwhile, President Trump crushed it in New Hampshire with 120,000 votes of people who just came out to show him support. That's why they came out. Bernie Sanders last night won New Hampshire. And if the Democrat National Committee does not do something today, Bernie Sanders is going to become their nominee. You watch. You'll see. Here's Bernie Sanders from last night.
The reason that we won tonight in New Hampshire, we won last week in Iowa, is because of the hard work of so many volunteers. And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. With victories behind us, popular vote in Iowa and the victory here tonight, we're going to Nevada, we're going to South Carolina, we're going to win those states as well. And tonight, I want to take the opportunity to express my appreciation and respect for all of the Democratic candidates we ran against. Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden. And what I can tell you with absolute certainty, and I know I speak for every one of the Democratic candidates, is that no matter who wins, and we certainly hope it's going to be us, we are going to unite together. We are going to unite together and defeat the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country. And the reason I believe we are going to win is that we have an unprecedented grassroots movement from coast to coast of millions of people.
Well, he's right. He does have a movement.
The reason that we are going to win is that we are putting together an unprecedented, multi-generational, multi-racial political movement. And this is a movement from coast to coast, which is demanding that we finally have an economy and a government that works for all of us, not wealthy campaign contributors.
And those billionaire bastards like Bloomberg. I'm coming for you, you billionaire, you.
Yeah, notice he didn't thank him.
He didn't thank him. Nope. I want to thank all the losers tonight. No. That broad, Klobuchar, the other broad, America's mother-in-law, the little guy from, what's his name, Buttigieg.
No, it's...
I want to thank Joe Biden for proving once and for all that he is the worst candidate to ever run for president of the United States of America in history.
Megaphone Birdie, it's just so
From deep. Here, we go on to win everywhere until they try to stop me, because they're going to stop me because I'm crazy as a freaking loon. So stop me they will, but until then, we're heading out of here. I'm not letting women drive, but we're going to head out in a big bus.
Megaphone Bernie is just not. He's
Yesterday, I got a new megaphone courtesy of Anthony Valenzano from Valenzano Winery, who gave me a new megaphone. Hey, Greg, do you have it in your office, your desk?
It's in my desk.
This is your Valentine's gift.
Bill, I got a brand new megaphone.
If Bill is listening, can you run to my
Bill,
desk
can you
and
get
it?
The new megaphone? The Bernie 2.0?
Yes.
Yeah, of course he's listening. The Bernie 2.0.
It has a flashlight on the end of it, right?
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
That's to wake people up when I start going on about how Donald Trump is a sexist, he's a homophobe, a claustrophobe, agoraphobe, he's a agoraphobe, afraid of spiders, and also the most dangerous president of our lifetime. I mean, not as dangerous as Castro or my friends over in Russia, but pretty damn close. I mean, he's no Stalin.
We're going to Nevada. We're going to South Carolina. We're going to win those states as well.
We're going to win those states, too. Can you hear me? Because I can turn
Tonight,
this thing up.
I want to take the opportunity to express my appreciation and respect for all of the Democratic candidates we ran against.
Here we go. Pete Buttigieg, the little guy from Indiana.
No.
Amy Klobuchar.
That broad from the Midwest. Warren, America's mother-in-law. We hate her. I hate her so much. All I can tell you is that, here we go. The new megaphone. This is now brand new, never before been used. Valenzano gave me this. What a good guy. And he also gave me some wine here. Let's see. Does this work? Let's see.
Does this work?
Here we go.
Here's what I can tell you tonight. That billionaire bastard Michael Bloomberg is coming for all of us, all of you. Tonight, though, we're going to unite the tribes of people bring the billionaires out in the street. I'm calling on all of you.
No, this is no.
Black, white, male, broad, whatever. We need you together. Donald Trump is the most dangerous president since Joseph Stalin, my best man at my wedding.
You didn't know Stalin was his best man?
I did not.
Wow.
Breaking news.
You guys didn't know that?
No.
Okay, Nikita Khrushchev was our ring bearer.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I said, Nikki, bring the ring when I got married in Russia. Well, today we're going to go to South Carolina. They're going to go, who the hell are you? You crazy bastard, you. That's why I tell you right now, the Bloomberg was sir. Can you hear me? Is this thing on?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. It's really loud.
Why is he yelling? He's always yelling.
There's like a spotlight on that.
Yeah, is there really?
Yeah,
cool.
It's like
It's like megaphone with a spotlight.
Can you see me now? I'm doing gestures. This is for you, Bloomberg. That's the Jersey salute for you, you billionaire.
I like this. This is very nice. This is very, very nice. Do you think Bernie would ever get a woman as his running mate? Do you think?
Well,
they said to me,
no.
Bernie, this is your chance tonight. Reach across the aisle to my Lotus and ask her to be your running mate. And I said, do you think I want to spend 4 years with that broad?
No.
I mean, I'm a heartbeat away, and she's a heartbeat away from giving me that heartbeat, if you know what I mean, because she doesn't shut up.
Megaphone Bernie is really, really
sexist. Well, he's not a fan of Elizabeth Warren.
Oh,
you can tell that, right?
I know. Elizabeth.
That's very obvious. Well, there you go. Bernie's big speech last night. The most dangerous president in our lifetime. And Bernie's had a lot of life. So if they don't stop him, he's going to be the nominee. There's no doubt about it. It's just going to happen. Jay is in Edison, New Jersey. Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich, everyone there. I think there's one extra thing we're not looking at that possibly it's true, too. It makes sense that the CEOs and the top management of the liberal media companies and their anchors and other people who come on their show who sell books and their authors and things like that, I think they actually would actually want Trump over Bernie because they're afraid of their self-interest, of how much money they would lose if Bernie's plans really came into effect and he taxed them 70, 80, 90%. That would hit them personally really hard and hit the corporation really hard too. So I think that is a big reason why, yes, they want Bloomberg's money, but I think they really don't want Bernie. They'd rather have Trump than Bernie in reality.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. Jay, it's an excellent observation. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. This social media check-in, AS sent me a note. Rich, is it time for Biden to learn to code? Great point. Alex in Newtown, PA. Keep up the great work. Awesome show. Thank you for that. That check-in on social media brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
I just saw the Jennifer Aniston photo, and I think that heartbeat away thing, yeah, that's the heart skipping a little fast is what I'm saying. I'm hereby amending my over 30 rule for Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, she's 51, right?
51, so she's the exception.
Wow. Normally I say if a broad's 29 and a half, she's out, but for Jennifer Aniston, Jenny.
Oh, no.
Jenny can have the bird if she wants to feel the bird. Can you hear me? Tonight we go on with Jennifer Aniston to New Hampshire and Iowa and...
Sanders Aniston 2020.
Sanders Aniston 2020. Wow, she does look good. I'll tell
she
you what.
Awesome.
She does look
She's
good.
She's doing some Pilates or
Man.
Something.
Man, all right. The effort to stop Bernie Sanders is upon us without a question. It is only a matter of time now until Michael Bloomberg becomes a nominee. The way this plays out is the following. This is what happens. Number one, the media starts to turn on Joe Biden as they have done. The media turns on Pete Buttigieg to get him out of the race. The media coalesces around Michael Bloomberg. They quietly bury the leaked video of him discussing stop and frisk. Then members of Congress running for re-election and senators, they all start to come out and endorse Michael Bloomberg. Joe Biden is going to get phone calls today telling him it's over and now it's time to move on. And then Michael Bloomberg will become the nominee on Super Tuesday. This is not going to be a broker convention. This is not going to drag on till June. Michelle Obama's not getting in. Oprah's not getting in. Hillary Clinton's not getting in. Bloomberg is going to be the nominee very, very quickly because they have to do this now. Otherwise, it's just Bloomberg's race. This is Bernie's race. And the only way to stop him is to quickly, very quickly, coalesce around him and his money and then start the operation running. And if they don't do that now, then it's going to be too late to stop Bernie Sanders. I know that you may disagree with me, but remember this. I told you in the fall that Ukraine was going to kill Joe Biden. And I was right. I told you then Joe Biden would not be the nominee. And I was right. And I told you that Donald Trump would emerge from impeachment triumphant. Donald Trump won New Hampshire last night with 120,000 votes, more than any other incumbent president has ever done in the New Hampshire primary ever. Everything I've said so far has come true. And this prediction is going to come true, too. It will be Michael Bloomberg and most likely, although I'm not 100% yet, Amy Klobuchar. And by Super Tuesday, which is March, what day is March 2nd?
March 2nd.
You're going to see it'll be the Michael Bloomberg show, and I'm not going to be wrong on this. The big question I have now is this. Will Joe Biden even compete in South Carolina, or will he drop out before the South Carolina primary? That's the question.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.